Hey, everybody. There are a ton of ways that you can follow us online. We've got our website, realnerdspodcast.com, that you can go to, and you can read articles and find the podcast episodes there as well. If you like social media, you can follow us on Facebook at Real Nerds Podcast or on Twitter and Instagram at Real Nerds. You can also call us anytime and leave a voicemail at 720-6NERDS5, and then we'll play your voicemail on the show. Thanks for listening. I hope you like us.
A real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can
talk through film. I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Hi, I am Ryan of Real Nerds. I am with James.
Hi.
And we are with someone very special. We're with Rebecca Isaacs, who is an amazing artist on Angel and Faith.
Didn't I recently call that my favorite ongoing series?
You did.
You did.
And that's why it's a really big honor that we have her
this
here.
It's crazy.
And James introduced me to the book, and it's fantastic.
He was a big Buffy fan, but not reading Angel and Faith. And we're going,
what
are you missing?
He smacked me upside the head. And James is here, and he was really excited to have you on the show, and we're very excited. And James has prepared a lot of questions, and he's a huge fan.
They're professionally scrawled out on this note that I have.
On this note. So
anyway.
I'm going to shut up.
Very professional.
I'm going to let James talk and Rebecca talk. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to Denver. It is so great to have people. You know, usually people treat us so much like a flyover state. It is cool to have, like, a con here and some real people come here that we can be excited about. I want to start off with a hard-hitting question. Mm-hmm. How do you get a cat named Fantastic Donut?
You write a bunch of your favorite things on strips of paper and throw them in a hat and then randomly select them. My fiance kind of cheated because it was supposed to be all nouns.
Yeah.
So, like,
but obviously there was at least one adjective in there.
Yeah, he put fantastic in. So, but I let it slide because it sounded so great. Some of the other ones, we actually chose three and then picked our favorite out of the three. One of the others was Tom Brady, Jeff Goldblum. And that was just a little too clunky. And and the other one was how family friendly is this podcast?
Oh, it's on the internet. You say whatever you want.
We're explicit.
Yeah. The other one was Japan Boner.
Oh, man. It's hard to... That's the thing, though. Anytime that cat does anything wrong, I can't imagine it's very easy to yell at them for it. Especially the Jeff Goldblum one. How do you say that and not laugh?
Yeah, I mean, like most animals, when we're actually talking to her, it's just cat.
Yeah.
Like, hey, cat, stop it, cat.
Yeah.
And you always have, like, you know, the goofy voices. I always talk to my dog, Goofy, and I don't even call him by his full name. So, yeah, but that was awesome. That's the funniest thing I've read today. Fantastic
so
donut.
I'm so glad. I thought it was going to be a dumb question. Anyway, this is the proudest I've been all week. The big thing I wanted to ask you about, and we're going to talk to Georgia Jonti later, you came onto a book that the whole, like, Buffy verse, especially after he started season 8, has, I think, a particular style.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at your art before you were on that book and after, I mean, it is still definitely you,
mm-hmm.
but I think when you start having to draw those characters and you start having to have it fit into that universe, what kind of stuff did you pay attention to? Were there specific things that you saw him doing that you felt like you needed to try and get in there?
A little bit. I definitely took some cues from George's and how he represented certain characters. I'd seen his sketchbooks before, the sketchbooks that he puts together with all of his preparation materials and all the different likeness tryouts that he had to do, and so that helped a lot just to get an idea of how to represent the features of the actors in a cartoony way, but in a way that still made, you know, conveyed their likeness. And I think one of the reasons I was probably hired for it is because we have some style similarities already. Like Scott Ali was saying that he really liked how we represent the planes of the face with we kind of draw these funny little lines on our noses to show where the planes change.
Yeah.
Like where, you know, like the top part of the nose changes to the bottom part of the nose. And he said, you know, George's does that a lot too. So I think that we already had kind of similar styles.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. It just, like, when I look at the two, I think it shows how versatile you can be and that you can sort of adapt to that.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Do you mind if I... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Can I ask a really quick follow-up question? Mm-hmm. Is it true you have to get the actors to sign off on a likeness? And is it a hard process? Or are they really collaborative? Or how do they go about doing that? Or is it their agents that sign off on it?
And if you're comfortable, has anybody not signed off on one of yours?
Oh, well...
No, I'm just kidding.
I can't really talk about ones that I haven't been signed off on.
Right.
But yeah, it can be a difficult process. It depends on the actor.
Right.
Some are very relaxed about it. I think they're just like... Yeah, what are you guys doing? Yeah. You know, this is
to me. It'd be cool that you're in a comic book.
But yeah, I know, right? But some are very particular.
Right.
I can't name names, but
right.
But yeah, I've gotten pretty lucky, I think, though. With 99% of the likenesses, it's been a really easy process. But we just do one portrait, kind of like a pinup almost of them, and they sign off on that, but they don't have to approve it throughout the series. They don't have to look at every page and
so once you're approved, that's it.
Yeah.
Once they approve that one, then you can, it doesn't matter after that.
It's not like every book has to sit on a shelf for a week and wait for seven people to sign off and say, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like we talk so often in comics about what people are doing next. I would like to hear some of your breaking in story, like, When did you first get into comics, and what was the thing that, was it Ms. Marvel or was it Deviate, where you were like, okay, this is really going somewhere, this is somewhere I can really flourish. When were you first into comics?
I didn't really get into comics until I started going to college for it, actually. I wanted to get into animation when I was younger, and I did an animation workshop in middle school, and I started to realize then that it wasn't really going to be for me, because there's so much repetition involved in it, and I felt like it took all the fun out of storytelling. And by the time I got to college age, I think I really realized that I want to do something else that's similar but just uses different techniques, and it gives me more power, more control over the story. And I went to like a summer program at Savannah College of Art and Design in between high school and college. And I figured I'd try out the sequential art program just on like a trial basis during that summer. And I loved it. So from then on, that was all I wanted to do.
Very cool. Very cool.
When you draw, is it like, when I draw, I like to draw like figures and stuff, but I find it really hard to draw couches and bookshelves.
Uh-huh.
Is that a hard part to draw? I've always wanted to ask an actual comic book artist that, because, you know, the figures are the fun part when you're drawing backgrounds and things like that. To me, that seems really hard, too, with the scale and making sure everything matches.
Oh, yeah. That's the toughest part, is just getting it all to fit into the perspective grid and line up with everything else. Like, drawing the actual shapes of the furniture isn't that difficult. It's a lot of Google image searching and looking through catalogs and stuff. But, yeah, backgrounds are pretty challenging. They're a big pain in the butt. That's why I think you'll find that most of us try to avoid them at all costs. We'll just do one panel with a background, and then the rest will be, you know, really, really low angle, so all you can see is the ceiling or something.
But at the same time, it brings so much, because, like, one of my favorite panels of yours is in it's in that first issue when there's the girl with all the tentacles and stuff coming out of her. Obviously, you know the art.
Yeah.
And that, like, that room is so full that it feels like you're in somebody's living room.
Oh, thank you.
That if none of that was there, if it were just like, hey, there's this girl with tentacles, I'd be like,
yeah.
It's good tentacles, but.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm really obsessed with that kind of stuff. My parents and my grandparents are into antiques. I mean, like, my grandparents own an antique store, and so I was always around and all these different styles of furniture. And I really pay a lot of attention to that when I go into a house, and it just says so much about the people who live there. So,
oh, absolutely.
And that was supposed to be like a kind of a poor working class single mother and her child. So, you know, it needed to be a little ratty, like, you know, kind of secondhand looking stuff, and you you don't even have to describe that in the script if you do the backgrounds right.
Yeah.
The reader can tell that just by looking at the environment. So.
Oh, shoot. I just went silent.
You did.
Well, we'll cut this out later.
Look at your questions you have written down.
But what was the thing that, like, you got hired for a book, and that was the time where you were like, okay, this is clearly going to work out. Like, they like me. When did you have that Sally Field moment? Or maybe you haven't.
Yeah,
maybe you don't know how
like
much
I'm
we
still
love
waiting
you.
For that.
I don't know. Have you met Joss Whedon?
I haven't. No.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe you haven't had that moment yet.
Yeah.
Then. All right. I thought that was a clue in of a shoe in of like, oh, well, if you've met Joss Whedon, then clearly you're there.
Yeah. Like, I got a really nice email from him saying that he really liked the art on Angel and Faith and that he was really happy with the series. So
cool.
So that was great. But I guess I kind of felt like that with DV8 though, because that was really big to work with Brian Wood on my second mainstream project,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I alternated between just feeling like I had somehow gotten really lucky and I didn't deserve it somehow, to being like, you know, wow, this is it. I'm actually on the right path. So
cool, very cool. Is comics the only thing you do now, or do you have a second job?
Yeah, just comics.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Congratulations. Good for you. I always feel like that's harder for artists because, you know, writers, somebody like Robert Kirkman, I don't mean to throw him under the bus. Robert Kirkman can write a handful of scripts in a week, but the art takes so much time that being able to actually be that self-sufficient is a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily we do get paid more than writers, so that helps a lot. But I also ink my own stuff, so that's supplementary income as well.
Cool.
So I don't know how I would have time to do anything else, so I'm glad that it does pay the bills.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you've got Magus and H2 Awesome over there on your booth.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little about what Magus is and how people can find it.
Magus is a fantasy series that my fiancé John Price wrote and
cool.
With his friend Dave Norton, and I drew. It was published by 12 Gauge Comics. It came out about a year ago, I think. But it's about what happens when everyone in the world wakes up and everyone is able to use magic, and no one knows where it came from, no one knows how to use it, so it's just utter chaos. It's based on this idea that magic existed thousands and thousands of years ago, but that this group of high mages deemed it too dangerous, so they locked it away. They locked away the source of magic, and it busted open, but no one knows how that seal broke. So, and obviously we find out through the course of the series. But, it is, you can find it at a lot of comic book stores. It was distributed through Diamond.
Cool.
But it would be back issues by now,
yeah.
Obviously. And, but it's also available on Graphically, the digital
reader.
Oh, cool.
Reader.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You can read the first issue for free online.
Oh,
actually.
Neat. Because you only have 3, 4, and 5 over there. So somewhere I'll have to find 2 then.
Yeah.
And next week you're going to be in Chicago. What's the deal with that? You're going to be in a gallery?
Challengers Comics in Chicago has an art gallery called Rogues, the Rogues Gallery, that's adjacent to it. And every month they do a different artist's showcase of their original art on the walls. And they have an exclusive print made up, and there's beer and wine, and so the reception for that will be this next Friday.
Very cool.
This Friday, right?
Very
yeah.
Cool.
I'm so confused. I don't know where I am.
No, we hear
Friday
you.
Because, you know, the weekend's today.
It's only Saturday, but this con has been a week and a half long.
Yeah.
Ryan, do you have any more questions before I do my last one?
No, I just, again, before you do the last one, thank you so much for coming by.
No problem.
Yeah, the book is amazing. And, you know, your writer, Christos Gage, wrote Spider-Man, and I love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So that was another reason I picked up the book. First, it was the art, and then I recognized the writer.
Yeah, had you read Buffy Comics before?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
That was the other thing I forgot to ask you. Was were you into Buffy before you got onto this book?
I actually wasn't really. I had started watching season 1 because my fiancé is a huge Buffy fan.
Ah.
He was always trying to get me to watch it. But
I'm
you
trying
probably
to get my
know.
Wife to watch it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So you probably know it's kind of difficult to get people to get
Especially
past season 1.
I usually tell people to start at season 2.
Yeah. I mean, now I love it going back and rewatching it because you know
right.
the characters, you already love them, so you get what the writers were trying to do.
And you know where it's going, so you can give it leeway when you're like,
yeah.
the computer's turned into a robot.
Right.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was having a lot of difficulty getting into it. I think I was maybe halfway through and halfway through season one. But when I got the chance to audition for the book, then I started watching them, you know, like 4 or 5 episodes a day. And I finished them up before I started on the series. So, but now I love them.
Oh, you just brought another one to me. You audition for books? For some reason, I always had this idea that, like, you know, you guys were out there, and if you got seen enough, like, Joss Whedon would call you on the phone and say, well, I guess that's what happened to George's. But, like, you just got picked based on what you've done. But you actually auditioned for the book.
Well, typically, what the situation you described, that's typically the case. But with a book like this, and I'm not sure what they did for Buffy. I think that Joss had just seen George's stuff and just really wanted to work with him. But, but with this, I think because of the likeness element, they tried out with several people. I think a few artists that had worked a lot with Dark Horse in the past. I hadn't worked with them before, so I just knew them through. I knew Sierra through DC.
Cool.
There. I don't know exactly how many, but I know that there were multiple artists that they were trying out for it.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, you know, you can look at somebody's stuff and say they are clearly good, but
oh yeah, I hope so.
I'm sure.
I can live up to that.
Do you read comics at all?
Yeah. I mean, not as much as I would like to, but
what are you reading now? What's the stuff you really love?
What I haven't read very much lately. I was really into Lock and Key, and I think
it's his second favorite book.
Oh really? Oh
well, no. See, you've revealed because I keep saying it's my favorite ongoing Lock and Key is limited series.
Right. Yeah.
Lock and Key is the first thing I read on the stack. Yeah. Angel and Faith is read second.
I love Lock and Key. It's so great. I think I might be a couple issues behind though because I lost track of when they were coming out.
Yeah.
What are they up to now?
They just finished Clockworks.
Okay.
So the whole like backstory is done. Okay. And then I don't know when the new series starts. I think it's late July.
Okay.
But then there's a one-shot called Grindhouse coming out in August that you should definitely check out. The cover looks amazing. It's set in like the Depression era.
Yeah?
Oh, man. Oh. It's one of the... Because, man, his art, every time that cover comes out, I'm just like, oh, this is just beautiful.
Yeah. He's a master of detail.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to imagine it takes him forever to do those pages. But is there anything else that you're reading?
That's all I've been reading lately. I've read most of Vertigo stuff, you know, in like back issues.
Yeah.
Because I got into comics really, really late. So, but I started out reading Transmed and Preacher and. I haven't really read much lately though. I've been trying to get back into reading. Books, because I hadn't read a book in 5 years.
I know that feeling.
I should probably get back into this so my brain doesn't start to atrophy or something.
I was an English major, so it was my job to read books, but I was not doing that and reading comics instead.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'm misprioritizing here, but yeah, I know it happens. It just gets so easy.
Yeah, drawing too for a living, you get so little time to ever sit down and read anything. It's just TV shows all the time.
You can't because you can't
like brain melting on my ears.
You can't get audiobooks of a comic book. That wouldn't.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming by, Rebecca. This was really great. It was an honor to have you here. And again, thank you for coming to Denver. Hopefully, we will see you again next year.
Oh yeah, we will definitely be here next year.
Oh, very
awesome.
Cool. Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right.
What? Oh, yeah, Ilya, is there anything else you want to promote while you're here before we take off?
Oh, actually, no.
Oh, okay. Because we talked about mages. Cool. All right.
Oh, well, actually, one thing, very, very tiny thing. I just joined a sketch blog with a bunch of really amazing artists, including Sarah Bocelli and Brian Stegman occasionally.
Spider-Man right now.
yeah.
It's amazing.
My friend Tony Chastain submits to it a lot. It's called Ashcan All Stars. And there's a Tumblr and a Blogspot blog.
Cool.
And you can follow us on Twitter, too. It's just @AshcanAllStars.
Absolutely.
One word.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
We will.
Yeah, we do a lot of cool themes. We just got finished with an alien theme and then a breakfast cereal characters theme. And so
cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
have you talked to Zach Howard, a couple of booths down from you, about aliens? Because he did aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to show him what I did. I would be too embarrassed.
No. He'd be fine. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Shoot. I just had another question and I forgot it. Anyway, thank you so much, Rebecca.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Thank you. That was awesome.
knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot and a real nerd. Look at all the gods. Lights, camera, action. Real nerds.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!